Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 11, The Beast Covenant and Image.
Revelation 13:1, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And I saw one of his heads. Notice, we have to rethink this thing about the Antichrist. It's one of his heads. We're not talking about a man who's spitting unto death. We're talking about one of the heads of this 7-headed, 10-horned beast. Okay? One of his heads. It's talking about Rome. Rome is the empire that was smitten unto death, and Rome is the empire that's going to be revived. One of his heads, as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth wandered after the beast. The whole earth. The whole earth is going to worship this beast and be a member of its body. You understand, we as Christians, we worship Christ, but we're members of his body. And this is opposite, but equal. Okay? The fully restored Roman Empire is the 8th head. That's not where it starts, that's where it finishes. Revelation 17:11, and the beast that was and is not is himself also an 8th and is of the 7. I want you to think about this. This beast is twofold. First of all, he's spirit. And second of all, he's a body of mankind. Okay? And we'll talk about how big that body is in a few minutes. But it says he's of the 7. Now, if you're talking about the spirit, which one of the 7 is he? He's the 6th. Because that's the one that makes the covenant with many in our day. But if you're talking about the body of the 7, it's not the 6th, it's all 7. I literally asked God this many years ago. I said, Lord, which one of the 7? He said, all of them. The first time it ever came to me, well, it is all of them. 7 heads, 10 horns. All of them. You know, Daniel said, we tend to think that those 7 heads passed away. They didn't pass away. They've never passed away. Nobody passes away. They just replicate themselves, you see. He said their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. All of the beasts at once had a dominion over the earth. In fact, every one of them ruled the earth at one time. But that dominion passed away, but they continued. Their seed continued on. In fact, they're with us today. They're with us today in a kingdom. And if you stop to think about it, you'll know which kingdom that is. There's only one kingdom on earth that has all 7 heads in it. All 7 world ruling empires is in one kingdom today. And the 10 horns is in it too. There's only one. It's the UN. Right now, it's the UN. That won't last. The demon prince will rule under Satan, but over the body of Antichrist in the same way that Jesus rules under the Father, but over the body of Christ. Again, equal but opposite. In both cases, two rule in one body. Satan impersonates God. The Antichrist spirit from the abyss joins in. This is Satan's plan. Remember, he always emulates God. What did God do? God joined all of his people in one covenant. All of the saved are in one covenant by one spirit, the Spirit of Christ, right? And the Antichrist spirit from the abyss joins in covenant all of the lost. That's his plan. He wants to do exactly what Christ did. Christ is from heaven, he's from the pit. And in fact, everybody's from one place or the other. We're all born from one place or the other. As Christ is a life-giving spirit from heaven, inhabiting a corporate body, the Antichrist is a spirit from the abyss inhabiting a corporate body. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Now he's talking about spirits in men. He's not talking about dealing with demon spirits that are floating around in the air anywhere. He's talking about demons in men. Because he goes on to say, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He's talking about demon spirits in men. Every spirit in man, notice, every spirit in man. We're talking about a lot of spirits here. Every spirit in man that confesses that Jesus Christ is, not has, come in the flesh is of God. It's not talking about Jesus having come in the flesh. It's talking about Jesus presently coming in the flesh. We know that Jesus is not coming in his flesh, his personal flesh, ever again. He's coming in the flesh of his body. And to discern whether a person's spirit is a good spirit or a bad spirit, all we have to know is, does that spirit confess that Jesus Christ is come in that flesh? That's what we want to know. And you know, and I know, that when we talk to people, their spirit confesses something to us. It either confesses that Jesus is in there or that he's not. Right? And that's what this verse is talking about. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, because we studied in the last conference tapes that Jesus is coming in two ways. He's first of all coming as an epiphany, which means a shining forth from his people. And then he's coming for his people, which is a parousia. And some of your Bibles don't differentiate those two terms very well. Others do a much better job. So Jesus' plan is to come in his body, then for his body. Notice this. Every spirit, again, we're talking about in man, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. Notice this. Look very carefully. Accept just what it says. Don't let your reason ruin what it says. It says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now go back to the beginning. Every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. You see that? Every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. Let it soak in. That's what the Bible says. The Bible, not one time, says there is a man called the Antichrist. Every spirit, a corporate body of spirits, in every man in whom Christ does not live, that does not confess Jesus Christ, that corporate body of spirits is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we can prove this. Not only does it say it there, but it says it in other places. Whereof you have heard that it cometh. Have we heard that this Antichrist is coming? Of course we have. But our error is the same as their error. Okay? And now it is in the world already. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Notice it's you and it's them. It's the one in whom Christ lives and the one in whom the world is, the spirit of the world is, right? The spirit of Antichrist is. Because greater is he that is in you, that's Christ, than he that is in the world, that's Antichrist. We'll have no choice. You know, you either have Christ or Antichrist. And the Antichrist is just like the Christ. You know who the Christ is in the earth today? That's right. And who is the Antichrist in the earth today? Every spirit. Every spirit. Remember that. Because what we've been used to repeating many times is just tradition, and it's not in the Bible. You can't find one verse that says that. Not one verse. And it's not the truth. The beast is a corporate body with one spirit. Ecclesiastes 3:18. I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts. You think that man has some preeminence above the beast? He said differently. You hear that man is different. He's higher than the beast because he has a soul. Or some people say because he has a spirit. But actually, the Bible says animals have both of those, the soul and the spirit. It says both of those. So that's not true, because unregenerate man is no different from a beast. Even when man was created on the sixth day, he was created at the same time as the rest of the beasts. It's only born again man that's higher, not the unregenerate man. I said in my heart, it's because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts. They have all one breath. We just saw that in the last slide. They have all one breath. The word breath is the Hebrew word for spirit. The same word. They all have one spirit. They have one corporate spirit. And they are one corporate body. Their spirit's from the abyss. Ours is from heaven. And man hath no preeminence above the beast. He's not any better than the beast. Matthew 24 and 40. Then shall two men be in the field. Jesus said the field in the parable of the sower was the world. And then shall two men be in the field. One is taken and one is left. That sounds like there's only two men on earth, right? Well, as a matter of fact, as we are one man in Christ, Galatians 3 and 28, so the whole world lieth in the evil one. There is only two men on earth. There's only two men on earth, two corporate bodies of people on this earth. And 1 John 15 and 19 says that. Matthew 12 and 30, he that is not with me, Christ, is against me, Antichrist. There's only two. You're either for him or you're against him. There's no gray in between, right? Now, I want to show you how big this body of the Antichrist beast is from the scriptures, okay? The beast body and his covenant. After the first two world ruling kingdoms, which were Egypt and Assyria, by the way, all these world ruling kingdoms all dominated Israel. Little Israel. And the reason was God raised them up for that purpose. Because Israel was in apostasy, God raised up a world ruling kingdom to conquer them or to keep them in bondage. And the thing that's different about our day is now Israel is much bigger. He is an Israelite who was one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart rather than outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. You see what I mean? We are Israelites. We were grafted into the olive tree of all Israel. And we are now not a little geographic nation, but we are a nation that covers the earth. So God did something different with the beast, something different than he's done before. He was always dealing with a geographic people, his people, which was Israel, and he used a geographic empire. Now he's talking about a corporate empire to deal with a corporate body of people. That's why this last beast is different from all the rest, because he is now, the 70th week is now determined upon thy people, the church, which is a corporate body that's worldwide. He needed a worldwide beast. And Daniel had a vision of the next six empires. In other words, Daniel's vision started in his day. It didn't go back to Egypt and Assyria, which was before his day. The book of Revelation goes back to Egypt and Assyria because it uses seven heads, you see. But Daniel started in his day, okay? And in his vision, he saw the next six kingdoms in one image. Now, if you want to know who the image of the beast is, the image of the beast is all nations. Watch. Daniel 2 and 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. An image is a picture, right? If you want to know what the beast looks like, look at this picture. This image, which was mighty, and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. And as for this image, its head was of fine gold. And Daniel told us that the head was Babylon, the king of Babylon. The head was of fine gold, Babylon. That's the third kingdom, okay? Its breast and its arms of silver. That was Medo-Persia. That was the fourth kingdom. And its belly and its thighs of brass. That's Greece, the fifth kingdom. And its legs of iron. That's Rome, the sixth kingdom. Now, from that point on, the feet, which were part of iron and part of clay, represent two kingdoms. Daniel saw the fourth kingdom as lasting all the way up until the end, you see, because Rome really never died. It was smitten unto death, but it never died, okay? And it didn't die because the feet, which were part of iron and part of clay, which we're going to see in our day, are going to be manifested in two stages. We're going to see that. The first stage, of course, is the dragon, which is the seventh kingdom, and the beast, which is the eighth kingdom. But you can see the image is these world-ruling empires and everybody that's under them. The image of the beast is very, very big. Remember, the image of the beast is a picture of him. And there's only two men in the earth. The eight world-ruling kingdoms and all under them represent the United Nations in one beast. The United Nations is the only government on earth that has all seven heads and all ten horns in it right now. And it is the foundation for the coming dragon kingdom and the following beast kingdom. In the common historical view, Daniel identified the first head in his day as the king of Babylon, saying, "Thou art the head of gold." The common historical view is, historically, one kingdom preceded the next, so on and so forth, all the way down through history. But I believe that you already know that there is also an end time view for the same vision. Okay? And that's obvious. It says the end time view is that America is the head of gold. Babylon was called the Great Eagle in Ezekiel 17. And it was the greatest military and industrial and merchant nation of their day. Well, that describes America now. America's the Great Eagle. She is now the head of gold. In the end time view, all of these are still true. We know there is an end time view because he told Nebuchadnezzar that this is what shall be in the latter days. So there is an end time view. Now underneath the head of gold was, of course, the Medo-Persian bear. And today, who's second in command of the world, would you say? The bear, Russia, right? So you can see that there is an end time view. And that the end time view is the image of the beast. See, it's not a computer, and it's not some statue that talks. Okay? The traditional EU beast theory is just dead wrong. This is very common. I've been saying for 20 years that was totally wrong because the Lord showed me otherwise. In Daniel 2 and 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the ten toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. And whereas thou sawest that the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Wow. So Rome mixed with the seed of men. It didn't stay like it was. Okay? "But they shall not cleave one to another." Now see what they're trying to do when they make the EU, the beast kingdom, is that they're trying to put Rome back in its original geographic position, all cleaving to itself as one nation. But Daniel said that's not to be. It is not going to cleave one to another. It's going to be separated by the clay. And the clay, of course, is not iron. The clay represents nations that were never part of the original Roman Empire. Okay? But now the clay is included. Other nations are included. But the clay separates the iron. If you take the languages of the original Roman Empire, the different languages that were in the original Roman Empire, and follow them through history from that time to this, you follow those languages, you know where they go? All over the globe. The original Roman Empire is now separated by the clay, and it's all over the globe, everywhere. It's not contained within the European Union, and never was, because the European Union doesn't make up all the nations that were in, and it has nations that were not in the Roman Empire. European Union is mostly Western Roman Empire. But the Eastern Roman Empire went up through the East Bloc nations. A lot of East Bloc nations were in the Eastern Roman Empire. So, the EU doesn't fit any way you try to make it fit. I remember when it went past 10 nations into 12 and 13, and then people had to start changing their theology. They thought it was the 10 kings, and when it went to 12 and 13, they said, well, there's 13, and then we're going to lose three heads. But it doesn't say that. The Bible says there were 10, and it loses three heads. See? And then it went past that. So people are very confused. But the truth is, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's just a part of the end time beast. Okay? The whole earth is in the body of the last United Nations beast. The whole earth. Daniel 7 and 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. Why is it different? Because now we're talking about a corporate kingdom instead of an individual kingdom. This kingdom has all seven individual kingdoms in it. Okay? Which shall be different from all the kingdoms, the corporate kingdom, and shall devour the whole earth. What does that tell you? The whole earth is inside the body of this last beast. It shall devour the whole earth. Now, people think that the beast is going to devour by war the whole earth. That's not true. What beast is on the earth today that has already devoured the whole earth and it wasn't by war? The United Nations. It's already devoured the whole earth. Is there going to be wars? Yes, many wars. There's going to be a civil war that is going to be the first real world war the world has ever had. You know, we've never really had a world war. But when you have an individual kingdom and they have a civil war, that's pretty bad. But when you have a corporate kingdom that covers the earth and you have a civil war, that's real bad. So this last kingdom devours the whole earth. Now we're talking about a big beast. All of fallen mankind is in the image of this beast. All of fallen mankind. Why do I say that? Because just as all resurrected, born again mankind is in the image of Christ, so all of fallen mankind is in the image of the beast. In Daniel 3 and 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. He made an image of the vision that he saw. This image is the image of the beast, whose height was 70 cubits. Now, if you're familiar with gematria, you know that the Jews used their letters to write their numbers. And if you turn their letters into numbers, you can add up the numbers in any word or any text. And if you add up the gematria in earth, it comes up to 60, 60. And the breadth thereof was 6. And 6 is the number of man, because man was created on the 6th day. Have you ever heard of the law of first mention? I've been following it for years to see if it's consistently right. And I found that it is right. The law of first man is first mentioned there, of course, in the 6th day. And when you find the law of first mention, it usually points out how he's going to be used in the rest of the scripture, you see. So 6 is man, 60 is earth. And he set it up in the plain of Dura. Dura means circle and dwelling. Circle and dwelling. And that sounds like the world, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, the word world, the gematria is 600. So now you got 600 and 60 and 6. Men who are in the world and earthly are of the fallen creation equals 666. The words in the world in John 1 and 9, the gematria is 666. Isn't that interesting? Everybody in the world is 666. The whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world lieth in the evil one. Things are going to start fitting from here on out. In Revelation 13 and 18, we are told, here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And we just saw who that man is. He's a corporate man. And his number is 666. One place we can find this is in Romans chapter 6. The 6th book in the New Testament is Romans. And the 6th chapter and the 6th verse tells us who the old man is. Knowing this, that our old man, tells us who the beast is, by the way. Our old man. Man is the 6th word in that verse. So we've got 4 sixes there, actually. Was crucified with him. The old man is the corporate body of all of those who are not born of God. You know your flesh is not born of God, right? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Your flesh is in unity with the world. It's the enemy of God, the Bible says. See? Everybody has flesh, Christians and non-Christians. But that old man is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the body of those who are not born again represent this the number of man. Daniel 3 and 7. All the peoples, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image. Now we see that not only the United Nations beast covenant, but a United Nations religious covenant, a one world religion. See, they were all united, and then they were all united around religion. We're going to see that. Revelation 17 and 1. Compare these verses. The great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. And verse 3, I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the waters and the beast are the same. Watch, verse 15. The waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So she's sitting upon these waters, which are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, and she's sitting on the 7-head, 10-horned beast. The words, where the harlot sitteth, the gematria for that is 666. Well, now we're identifying the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues as 666. You see that? You know why people come up with this? First of all, they've made up their own gematria to and I think it's true, but to come up with 666 in the name Kissinger, in the Pope, and in Prince Charles, and dozens of others. How many people are the beast? All of them are. They're going to continue to find this, you know, because they're all involved. Now, you know and you believe already that the woman in Revelation is not, the woman in Revelation 12, for instance, is not an individual, right? How about the harlot? Do you believe that harlot's an individual? Nobody believes that, right? Now, the harlot is sitting upon a 7-head, 10-horned beast. Let's just say the harlot, okay, the harlot is a corporate body, but the 7-head, 10-horned beast is a man. Does that make sense? You got a corporate body sitting on the top of a man? That's a heavy load. No, you got a corporate body sitting on top of a corporate body. The beast is a corporate body. Some complain. They object. I've heard this objection, but there's a real simple explanation. Some complain that the beast could not be the whole earth, because he is separated from the kings and their armies, whose flesh is killed in Revelation 19, 17 through 21. You remember when the Lord comes back on his white horse and the sword of his mouth is going forth to destroy the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of captains? And it sounds very much like in Genesis chapter 6, where it talked about the flood destroying the flesh. Okay? Well, when the flesh was destroyed, what happens to the spirit? They say, well, look, you see, the beast was taken, chapter 19, verse 20, the beast was taken and cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone. But it goes on to say, and the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which came forth out of his mouth, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay, so you got the body being killed on the earth, but the spirit being cast into the lake of fire. That's common, isn't it? There's no discrepancy there. We have this in Daniel 7 and 1. Watch. It's 7:11. I beheld even until the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. What you've got is the spirit, which is eternal, being thrown in the fire, and the body being destroyed on the earth. That's exactly what happens to the Christians on the other side. Remember, equals but opposites. The other side of the story is Christ's body dies on earth, but the spirit is taken to heaven. See, so the beast incorporates all mankind, but there are other entities in that beast. There is a false prophet that's a member of that body of that beast, you see. And the harlot is very much married to that beast. They are one body. There is no verse that calls the Antichrist or the beast an individual man. There's no verse in the Bible that says that. And people object, well, what about Antiochus Epiphanes? I'll get to that, okay? But I'm going to give you a little more foundation before we get there. While God's people are waiting for the sign of an individual beast to believe the tribulation is starting, a spirit from the abyss will have united all the world as his body in covenant. This is what's about to happen, you see. Jesus' covenant is the same way. A spirit from heaven has united all of the people of God in covenant. The beast covenant will be both secular and religious. Watch. I want to explain this before I go on, because people say, well, yeah, but the beast, isn't he the king of the north over in Daniel? Well, let me explain something to you. The seven-headed, ten-horned beast covenant will only last for 7 years. And the reason it only lasts for 7 years is because at the end of 7 years, there's a civil war in the midst of the beast that totally destroys it, breaks it apart. Okay? Why is that? Well, watch. In Revelation 16 and 16, it says, "And they gathered them together into the place which is called in the Hebrew Armageddon." Now, you remember Armageddon. God gathered all nations against Israel in Armageddon. Well, what happened there? Look in verse 19. It says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." This is the wrath of God at the end of the tribulation period. Okay? The great city was divided into three parts. The great city is Babylon. It tells us that three times in the book of Revelation. And Babylon, in its greatest sense, is the whole world, because if you remember, when the world was one at Babel, and the land was one, the continent was one, that God confounded the languages, he spread them out on the continent. In the days of Peleg, he broke up the continent, he spread the continent out. So actually, the whole world came from one place, Babylon. All came from Babel. So in the largest sense, there's more than one parable. We have a religious Babylon, we have a secular Babylon in America, and we have a world Babylon. And you have to look at the text to find out which. And what he's saying here is that the Battle of Armageddon, the world is going to be broken into three parts. Do you know what the three parts are? Well, if you're talking about the battle, you're talking about the kings of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. That's the three parts. And we have proof for that. In Zechariah 14:2, at the Battle of Armageddon, which is at the end of the tribulation period, it says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem." Notice, they're still all one. There's no breakup here. I mean, the king of the north hasn't fought with the king of the south. The breakup hadn't happened yet. Watch. "I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue or remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So God doesn't even go to fight until half the city is taken and the remnant are threatened. He's not interested in defending Jerusalem. He's interested in defending the remnant, because they're the elect. Jerusalem is overwhelmingly pagan, like we talked about before. So all nations are coming against Jerusalem, and about the time they're becoming a threat to the remnant, then God goes forth and fights. Verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." How did God fight in the day of battle? The Bible tells us. It's a complete, perfect parallel. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, "And he said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Fear ye not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's, but God's." So God is going to go forth and fight in the same way that he fought right here. What happened here? 2 Chronicles 20 and 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. How did he do that? In verse 23, for the children of Ammon, which just happens to be the king of the north, and Moab, which happens to be east, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, which was the king of the south, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. Now that's how God fights in the day of battle. And this is how he's going to defend Israel. Because when they come as one, they're going to be divided into three, and they're going to be killing one another off, and they're going to leave Israel alone. This has happened already three times in history. See, God repeats history. Isn't it neat? So you see that the king of the north and the king of the south and the kings of the east, these wars are going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon because God is defending Israel. So when you talk about Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11 about these wars, guess what? He's literally speaking over there of Antiochus Epiphanes. That's already written in history. That already happened. Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11 already happened. You can look in the book of Josephus. You can look in the book of Maccabees. He describes it completely. Antiochus Epiphanes was that king of Syria who broke away from the once Alexander the Great kingdom and attacked Israel and took Israel. When you talk about it, when something's fulfilled, first it's fulfilled literally. After that, it becomes a type. So if you start using it as a literal revelation of the end time Antichrist, you're going to miss it because you're dragging something that is a type and making it a letter, you see. Now, so this is the way God is going to defend Israel. And by the way, this is how the end is going to happen, exactly the same way. The king of the north is going to unite with the king of the east, and they're going to attack America, who is the king of the south. In the Battle of Armageddon, America's armies are going to be in the south. Not only that, America's below the 50th parallel, and the king of the north, Russia, is above the 50th parallel. It doesn't matter that we're on the opposite sides of the earth. We're talking about a global thing now. We're not just talking about a geographic thing now, you see. And guess what happened? Exactly what the Bible tells us happened back there is going to happen now. The king of the north, which is Russia, is going to be leading the king of the north, is going to unite with the kings of the east, and they're going to attack America. And when they're through doing that, they're going to have a war with one another. See? This is what happened right here in history. Gideon's war is exactly the same thing. The Midianites of the south, the Amalekites of the north, and the children of the east lay along the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels were without number, and the sands which was upon the seashore for multitude. This is a great army. They came as one, and they were broken into three. All of them are the same. Came as one, broken into three. There was a king of the north, south, and east. In Judges 7 and 22, and they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. Isn't that neat how the Lord does that? So he's done it in history. We know what he's going to do again. So if you talk about these wars, they're going to be fulfilled, but they're not going to be fulfilled literally exactly like 8 and 11 is. That's a type. Okay. Now I want to talk about the covenant. The secular aspect of the 7-year dragon beast covenant. Why do I call it the dragon beast covenant? You'll know in a minute. As Christ has a corporate body with whom he has made covenant, so it is with Antichrist. This 7-year covenant will unite the world, including natural Israel. So Israel is involved, okay? But it's not what we're looking for. Everybody's been looking for the beast, whoever he is, to make a covenant with Israel. Well, now we know who he is. The UN is going to be the one to start this, okay? But it's not primarily with Israel. It's primarily with the whole world. Watch. He'll unite the world, including natural Israel, in a 7-headed, 10-horned body. See, the Spirit is uniting the world in one body. Like Christ, who is a Spirit, unites all of his people in one body. This is part of the covenant, and everybody's missing it. It's in the black and white. It's right on the surface. It's not even hidden. The World Constitution and Parliament Association, the WCPA, has envisioned this very thing. Their aim is to replace the current UN Constitution with the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. Any of y'all ever read that? It's very neat. I mean, I read it. It's awesome. If I didn't know what I know about the Bible, I would say this is what we need. It is a really democratic, constitutional, a representative form of government. The most honest one I've ever read about. Because, for one thing, they don't give veto power or, what's the other term I'm thinking of? Executive order power to anybody. So they're going to replace the UN Constitution with the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. It's a very neat. You ought to get it if you can. The Global Ratification and Elections Network is now working in all of the world. Most of the nations of the world, they have a very good representation. And they're working in all the world to ratify this Constitution, the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. They're using governments and non-governmental organizations to ratify it now, right now. 10 kingdoms. It's in there. I read it. It's 10 kingdoms. 10 kingdoms are to be made from 10 continental divisions of the whole earth. You want to know who the 10 kings are? It's the whole earth. In order to do away with national, ethnic, and religious boundaries for the sake of peace. All wars come from nationalism, ethnic divisions, or religious divisions. Okay? And if you change the way that nations are divided, you mix people in with one another so that they can't have these wars. They think. But they ain't thinking about a civil war. This will unite the seed of all 7 previous heads of the whole earth, hence a 7-headed, 10-horned body for the spirit of the beast from the abyss. See, we would like to see Christ's body united, wouldn't we? Okay. Well, the world's got an idea to do that too, but it isn't the kind we're talking about. Okay. Under this constitution, the world parliament's decisions are supreme. Not any leadership over it, by the way. The world parliament's decisions are supreme and are to be implemented by the presidium, which has no veto power or executive order. With ultimate sovereignty, I quote from their document, with ultimate sovereignty residing in all the people who live on earth. It's a totally representative form of government. You understand? God's not going to condemn the world because they were ruled over by a beast and forced to do what they're doing. He's going to condemn the world because they're going to choose what they're doing. The presidium will ultimately be made up of 10 kings, as in Revelation 17 and 12 says. Where is this secular aspect of this covenant in Revelation? People have asked me this question. Where is it? I see it over in Daniel 9, 26 and 27. It says, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But where is it in the book of Revelation? We'll watch. The Constitution for the Federation of Earth, Article 17, Section B, calls for implementing the world constitution in stages. In other words, they're not going to do it all at one time. They're going to go through stages. Bring it to that, okay? Revelation declares this staged 7-year covenant of the many with the beast. Watch how simple it is. The first stage of the beast is the dragon for 3.5 years. Revelation 12 and 3, and there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems or crowns. And the great dragon was cast down. You notice I'm skipping some verses here. You'll have to forgive me, forget that, but we'll never get through if I don't. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, verse 14, and there was given to the woman 2 wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time from the face of the serpent, which is the dragon. So you got 3.5 years under the dragon. That's the first stage. However, the dragon had the crowns on his heads, not on his horns. And who are the heads? The heads are these different ethnic groups from the beginning. These 7 heads are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. According to Daniel, they're still with us. They're just with us in their seed, so they're much larger bodies. Okay, but the dominion in the UN is given to the heads. It's not given to the horns. We haven't turned to the horns yet. See, these people all block vote in the UN right now. They generally block vote. So what the dominion now is on the heads, not on the horns. The next stage is the dominion is going to be given to the horns. The second stage is the fully implemented beast government, the fully implemented Roman Empire, for 3.5 more years. 13:1, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems. Now they've all suddenly changed the government of this thing to the continental divisions rather than the national divisions, you see. Now it's continentally divided, and he's given authority to these continental divisions, which, by the way, have been around since 1958. I've seen the map. This has already been chosen. You know, some of you have heard of it, I'm sure. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. There's your second stage for 3.5 more years. This is the final stage. This is the fully implemented beast. And it's at this time that war is going to be made on the saints. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now we see a 7-year covenant with many. And who is the covenant made by? A spirit from the abyss, inhabiting the body. The religious aspect of the covenant with many. I'll give you a type here. You know, history just keeps repeating itself. That's how you can know the truth, because when somebody's got a theology of the end time that breaks from history, it's wrong every time. The first time history does not repeat itself, the Bible lies. Because it says the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. So we know God's not going to permit history to break. That's why you know there's not a pre-tribulation, all-fly-away rapture. Because they never escaped the beast before. They never escaped the beast before. So you know that's a lie. Okay? And a lot of other things can be proven that way. Constantine's covenant between all religions under the Roman Empire is a type of this. There you have the Roman Empire, which is a type of the Roman Empire being built now, you see. Constantine was an individual type because in the Bible, instead of using corporate bodies, he uses individuals to represent corporate bodies. Why? Because individuals always become corporate bodies. They start out as individuals. They're first spoken of as individuals. The next time they're mentioned, they're corporate bodies. The next time they're mentioned. You ever notice that? Okay, Constantine was mentioned. He was an individual, but he represents a corporate body whose kingdom was divided by religious wars. He wanted peace in his kingdom, and he knew that if he didn't have peace among religion, there wasn't going to be any peace. So what did he do? He gathered all the false prophets of all the religions into a corporate false prophet. Notice, he had a corporate false prophet. He didn't have an individual corporate false prophet, he had a corporate false prophet. They sat at his little round table and they advised him on how to keep peace between the religions. And they were paid well. Okay. They formed the Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. There are many people that think the Catholic Church is going to come to power again. They're wrong. What's coming to power now is another universal church. The universal church in that day represented the universal church in our day. The universal church in our day is going to incorporate all the religions of the world again. It's not the Catholic is just one group that's going to be in that. That's all, just one group. They formed the Catholic Universal Church harlot under the Roman Empire beast. And through bribery and lust for power and prestige and the backslidden Christian leadership, they joined this covenant. Constantine's corporate false prophet is just like the end time corporate false prophet. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. Constantine raised up a church government and gave authority to that church government in order to rule over all the kingdoms of religion. And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Have you ever seen this happen? I've seen it happen in churches. You know, the Lord was quite separate from the government. But very much today in churches, there's a kind of a God and country patriotism. Have you noticed? You know, a pledge of allegiance to the flag. Do you see anything wrong with pledging allegiance to the flag? Especially if you know where America's going, you ought to see that there's something wrong with that. our allegiance is to the Lord, and He tells us not even to pledge because we don't have a power to bring it to pass, do we? We say if the Lord wills, and by His grace, and things like that. Pledging in the first place is wrong. Secondly, pledging allegiance to a worldly kingdom is doubly wrong. And this is happening in all nations. Christians are caught up in this kind of a thing. Well, that's nothing but the false prophet pointing everybody towards the beast. You know, that which hath been is that which shall be. History is going to repeat itself. Constantine's choosing of this corporate false prophet and using them to glorify himself is going to happen again. The United Nations beast is uniting all religions of the earth into a truly universal church harlot in an attempt to bring peace. The exact same thing Constantine did. The United Religions Initiative, the URI, is putting together a UN of all the religions of the world called United Religions in their hope of bringing peace. The World Conference on Religion and Peace, the WCRP, is another such organization working towards that end. The World Council of Churches is an ecumenical consortium of Christian denominations. These large organizations have made a preparation for a one-world harlot. The leadership of this harlot will be the corporate false prophet. This uniting of religions in one covenant will become official when the beast shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Why do I say a corporate false prophet? Because the second beast in Revelation 13 is just that, a beast. It has a head and it has a body. You know, Constantine's head that he created, these leadership of all the religions of the world put together into one, they ruled over the guys in the pulpit. You see, it starts there, but it goes all the way down to the guy in the pulpit. This beast goes from the UN all the way to the pulpit. That's how big the false prophet is. It's a corporate false prophet. Jesus never said there was a false prophet. He said there would be many false prophets. Peter never said there was a false prophet. He said there would be many false prophets. The book of Revelation never said there was a false prophet. It gave you a parable of a beast. And people said, that's the false prophet. I agree. It is the false prophet. But it's a corporate false prophet. Because history has proven that. The Millennium World Peace Summit at the United Nations from August 28th through 31st in 2000 met to form a permanent council of religious leaders to advise the UN on preventing and settling disputes. That's exactly what Constantine did. And now they're doing it. You see, they're going to give these people authority to make a covenant for you. Representatives of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, Shintoism, Spiritism, Taoism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, and Confucianism were there. And probably some more. This is the false prophet. The Sanhedrin in Jesus' day was a corporate body that made up of all the sects of Judaism, the apostate sects of Judaism. It was a type of this. They came together and decided to crucify Christ. And that's the way it's going to be in the end time. The beast covenant joins the secular and religious. That's the two aspects of this covenant. Ahab and Jezebel are individual types of the beast and harlot. You've seen in Revelation chapter 2 how Jezebel represents the harlot. Now, if Jezebel represents the harlot and she's a corporate body, what about Ahab? We come to the same problem here. How can you say one of them's a corporate body and the other one is not? Right? Ahab and Jezebel are individual types of corporate bodies. Their covenant unites, watch, the same thing we just saw. Their covenant unites false religions and the apostate people of God with the ten-horned beast. You see, God doesn't care about the world making covenants with the world. He doesn't even care about Israel making covenants with the world. Do you understand that? Because they're lost. What He doesn't like historically all through the Bible is His people making a covenant with the world. That He forbids. You understand? Everybody's watching for a covenant that Israel's going to make with the beast. But that's not where the covenant's going to be made. So while we have the wrong signs, the wrong signposts, we're not going to see what's coming. That's exactly what happened to Israel. Exactly what happened to Israel. History repeats itself. 1 Kings 18 and 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Now we're talking about the witnesses here, right? Ahab and Elijah. And Ahab was the 10-horned beast because he was the ruler over the northern 10 tribes, the northern 10 apostate tribes. So he had 10 horns. So, and Ahab said unto Elijah, "Is it thou troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou." So here you have a war going on between the beast and the witnesses, which we know happens in Revelation chapter 11, right? "And thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Balaam." You know who Balaam was, right? Balaam was the golden calf. He was the golden calf that they created when they came out of Egypt and called it Yahweh or Elohim. That's the name they put on him. They put the name of our God on a false image of the beast. "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal." That's one horn of the false prophet in Revelation chapter 13. 450. "And the prophets of Asherah," that's the second horn, 400, "that eat at Jezebel's table," or the harlot's table. Now who eats at the harlot's table? The preachers do. And that's who we have here. We have the preachers of these different religions. Now, Baal represents apostate Protestantism. One reason we can know that is because Asherah represents Semiramis. She is, in that culture, in that time, the name for Semiramis, who was the virgin birth mother of God, the virgin who brought forth the Son of God. I shouldn't say virgin birth mother of God. And so who is it that worships the virgin who is the mother of God? The Mariolatry churches. The Mariolatry churches. And that is much larger than the Catholic Church. There's a lot of Mariolatry churches out there. The Eastern Orthodox is a very large one, you know, that worship Mary as the mother of God. So you know what is going to be united in this covenant? You know that Protestantism and Catholicism and the Eastern Orthodox, all of them are going to be united, okay?
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.